May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Remembrance Sunday. Remembrance suggests just looking back to the past. But in fact, the service today has past, present, and future elements to it. We remember all those who have died serving their country in the past, but we also remember all those suffering in violent conflicts in the present. And as we gather today, the terrible suffering in Gaza and Israel may be uppermost in our minds. Finally, we pledge ourselves to work for peace in the future. First, we remember the past. The origins of Remembrance Sunday go back to the First World War. Hostilities formally ended the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 when the armistice was signed between the German forces and the Allied forces. The following year, 1919, the first official Armistice Day was held. Today, remembrance ceremonies continue to be held on the 11th of November every year, but also on the nearest Sunday, as we are doing today. No one who served in the First World War is still alive today. However, the tradition of Remembrance Sunday continues as we remember those who fought and died, not only in the First World War, but also in the Second World War and in many other conflicts across the world since then. We remember all those who served their country bravely, those who fought and died, and those who were badly injured. Not only soldiers, pilots, and those serving in the Navy, but also doctors, nurses, and chaplains, and ordinary men, women, and children caught up in the misery of war. Perhaps some of you may have served in your country's armed forces and have direct experience of those who've died in the course of serving their country. Others of you may have relatives who have passed on accounts not only of the pain and suffering of war, but also the courage and the self-sacrifice and commitment of many brave men and women. One of David's great uncles, Evelyn, was a young captain in the First World War, and he died to save his wounded comrade stuck in no man's land. But as we remember today, we are not only recalling events from the past, but also calling to mind the suffering and sacrifice of the present. War is a present reality raging in many parts of the world where countries are devastated by the effects of continued violence. The war in Ukraine continues with no end in sight. And more recently, there has been the terrible violence and conflict and suffering in Israel and Gaza. And this is a conflict which divides people bitterly. There is raging anger on both sides. When we think of the brutality of the Hamas attacks on men, women, and children, some of them murdered in their beds while they were sleeping, but also of the terrible bombardment of Gaza, the large numbers of casualties, the lack of food, water, medicines, and shelter, words may fail us. That's why we held a silent vigil this last week to pray for all the victims. What we can see clearly over the last few weeks is that violence often leads to more violence, and anguish, suffering, and misery often leads to more hatred, and that this spiral leads to devastating consequences for everyone. Many millions have died and are dying in conflicts around the world, and it's very hard to take on the magnitude of suffering. Sometimes we can reduce people to statistics. But each one of these people was unique, and every life is precious. As we remember those across our world, past and present, who have died in war and conflict, we know that each one of them mattered to others and was dearly loved, left grieving spouses and children, parents and friends. For so many people in our world, the world is a cruel, violent, and chaotic place, full of pain and suffering. And this is not just the world out there, far away. It's the world of which we are a part. We are all a part of that world, though we come from many different nations. Here at St Ursula's, we are an international community with people drawn from all over the world. So in our act of remembrance, we can't simply just think of my country or think in an us and them mentality. We need to have a worldwide perspective and have a vision for the future to pray and work for the breaking down of all barriers and hostilities that lead to conflict, to work for peace and reconciliation between all the nations. We heard that vision of peace and reconciliation among the nations expressed very beautifully in our Old Testament reading from the prophet Micah. Micah was a member of the people of Israel. He loved his own people, but he speaks of God's purposes not only for his own people, but for the whole world. He holds out a wonderful vision of a time when God himself will arbitrate between the nations and teach the people his ways. Swords will be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But his vision was not just for the absence of war and conflict, but for the reality of fruitful peace. Instead of swords, there will be plowshares, pruning hooks, vines, and fig trees. A vision of a fruitful land and thriving communities living in peace. So many people in our world must long for their land, which has been devastated by bombs and the destruction and rubble of war, to again be green, to bear crops, and to support communities living in peace together. This, sadly, is not a reality for many people in our world. It wasn't a reality for Micah either. He knew all about injustice, destruction, and violence, but he yearned for a different future, and he believed that in God's purposes, this future would come about. So as we remember those who've served and died in conflicts in the past, as we think about the suffering and violence in our world in the present, we also yearn for a different future where all nations live at peace with each other, where the world's resources are shared fairly and all people are treated with respect and dignity. As in Micah's time, this is certainly not a present reality. More often in our world today, pruning hooks are turned into spears rather than the other way around. And although huge numbers of people live in hunger without food or shelter or medicines, so much of the world's resources and wealth, tremendous energy and skills of human beings is dedicated to the business of war. How tragic this is. We are to yearn for, pray for, a different future where everything God gives us is used in the ways of peace and human flourishing. So in our act of remembrance at the end of the service, we don't only remember those who have fought and died bravely, we also pledge our support for all those working for the relief of the needy and the peace and welfare of all the nations. The vision of peace and reconciliation which Micah speaks of is embodied in Jesus. Jesus knew all about violence and suffering. He himself died a very violent death on the cross during Roman occupation. The cross was an instrument of torture and execution. But Jesus died giving himself for others, giving himself for us that we might live. Jesus says in our gospel reading, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And he calls us his friends. We are his friends not because we deserve it or because we've earned it, but simply because of his grace. Of course, the gospel goes further, for Jesus died even for his enemies. In his agony on the cross, he prays for his torturers, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is where the Christian gospel is the most shocking. As Paul points out in his letter to the Romans, Jesus does not die for the good, for those who are righteous or worthy. He dies for the weak and the ungodly, and this includes all of us. God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Jesus died to bring us forgiveness and healing, to offer the possibility of a changed heart and a new beginning for human beings. So today we remember. And as we remember, that is, call to mind those who have suffered and died in war and conflict in the past and in the present, let us also remember, call to mind, the grace, hope, and healing that God offers us in Christ for us and for all the world. In our Eucharistic prayer, we're urged to remember all that Jesus did, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. But this remembering, this calling to mind of all that Jesus did, is not to live in the past. It's to strengthen and sustain us in the present. He is with us now. We meet in his name and we share his peace. We are fed, we are nourished, we are sustained by his death on the cross and his resurrected life. In God's grace, we are forgiven, we are turned from enemies to friends and brought into a new relationship with God and one another. And we are given a vision and hope for the future. As the Eucharistic prayer continues, Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. So, as we remember those who served their countries sacrificially in the past, as we bring before God the terrible suffering of the present, let us also look to the future and seek to live out the peace and reconciliation of Christ in our own lives, and to work for the peace and welfare of all the nations. Amen.